it going, everybody? We are back. I hope you all had an awesome July 4th. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe. Shh. Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going.
It's going.
The time is going.
So
and
fast.
Now we are in July. Half of the year has gone by.
We're in the thick of it. We're in the summertime. We're in that vacation time. We're in that era where people need a little bit of break, a little bit of, but it's really just this overheat. It's a lot of heat that's really happening, and that's really messing with my brain. But we have something special for everyone, don't we?
Yeah. We have a panel that we recorded back in May 11th, 2013.
We're finally letting it out. Letting it out live.
Yeah, it's called Making Comics, and this was recorded at the ANS Sci-Fi and Comic-Con. We have several people that were on this panel. I think there's like 8 people on this panel.
Massive. It was a pretty big panel.
Yeah, it was Dark Ink Pictures, Blue Milk Special, Liz and Jimmy Reed, and us, Carolyn and Joe from Curl Studio.
So why don't we just let them have it, Carolyn? Just let them have at it.
Release the hounds.
Also, just before we get to that awesome con Kickstarter, made it through. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, guys. It's going to be an awesome show.
Success.
My God. Everyone go. Enjoy that show.
Next April.
Next April, yeah.
Yeah. Mark your calendars.
Yeah. Enjoy that show. We'll catch you all right after it. See you, Carolyn.
Enjoy the show.
My name is Joe Carabeo.
And I'm Carolyn Gilevsky.
We are Curl Studio. What do we make? What type of books do we make? Books for everybody.
Rated E for everyone.
we do the Legettes, which is a sci-fi action adventure. Black Magic Tales, which is sort of like a wacky crime spree, Looney Tunes attack on the world. Yeah. And Small Town Mystery, the Kid Roxy, and Carolyn does Curls.
Yeah, I have a webcomic called Curls. It's at curls-studio.com. And we do a lot of other stuff on the side. Joe actually works in film production, and I do art direction and graphic design, so we kind of incorporate those worlds into our art and storytelling as well. You guys can
go. I'm Jimmy Reed.
And I'm Liz Reed.
So we run Cuddles and Rage,
which is a mixed media webcomic. So it's a little bit different in the sense that on Mondays we do drawn comics, and then on Wednesdays we do these sculpted dioramas. It's all about food and animals. Wow. We've been doing it for like 3 years.
About 3 years.
Yeah.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah.
Inedibly delicious.
Yes.
Well, I'm Rod Hanner, and this is Leanne.
I'm Leanne.
She's Leanne. Our studio is called Hanagram, which is a play on our name. We've been doing a webcomic called Blue Milk Special for a long time, which is basically a Star Wars fan project. But Leanne's worked in the comic industry. She's worked with Rob Zombie, worked with Todd DeZago, who's worked on Spider-Man and Flash. I worked with Mike Omi, a few people in the industry working on the big sort of Marvel DC image projects. So we are doing our own stuff. We've got a children's storybook, which we're both working on. and we've got a manga comic which we're working on right now. But our webcomic is Monday to Friday, Star Wars fan project.
And we've been doing it about 4 years.
About 4 years.
Great, awesome, thank you.
So, one question that probably a lot of people have is how you even possibly get started in comics. So, maybe go the opposite way down the line.
It's like the wave.
Yes, it is like the wave.
In my experience, I mean, it's so easy, especially now, to make your own comics. I mean, you can do your own webcomic, you know, draw it and put it up online so everybody can see it. That's how we started with our BMS Star Wars parody. It was just a project so we could work on together, since he's been writing his stuff separate and I've been drawing my stuff separate, working on different projects. So this was a way we could collaborate together. And basically, we just, you know, we would do the work. He's mostly the writer, and I do most of the art. And we just put it up online, and then we ended up getting a fan following.
What about your professional work?
Well, I guess the other way to get into comics is to get a portfolio together of your work, or if you can get published as by your own project, that's even better. And take it to conventions and talk to different artists and writers and editors and just kind of ask for advice. I found that that's better than trying to I guess push yourself, like, you know, you want a job with these people. In my experience, trying to learn from the different artists and ask for advice to show that you're willing to learn and, you know, accept, you know, any sort of criticism. And that's the best way to build relationships, I think, in my experience.
I mean, we went to Heroes Convention, which is in North Carolina, and we met a lot of the people we've ended up working with in the industry at that show, because it's a very good show for creators. So that's actually how we met Todd DeZago. That's how we met Brian Glass and Mike Omi. And once they knew what we could do and what we were working on, we became friends with them. Were able to start working with them on their own projects. So that was kind of like my foot in the door as a writer, whereas Leanne had actually done work.
Yeah, I worked for an art studio.
You know, she worked for an art studio back in 2004.
So. I think for us, we started our webcomic as just a way to be creative, because we kind of just saw that we were not so much like in the grind of the day-to-day, but like a little bit to the point they're like, we want to start making something. So it started off as just like doodles for our friends who said that they thought they were really cool. It led to us just starting a Tumblr page, something really simple and free, and then just putting our jokes up there. And we wanted to make sure that we wanted to like commit ourselves to it first, so we didn't like go and like design a site right away, because you don't have to go over the top at first. And then, like, once we got really invested in the process, it just kind of took off and grew from there.
Yeah, I think the key for us was just making something. And you can do that with, a pen and a paper. It doesn't have to be anything fancy.
Yeah, I would definitely say, like, and that's what we do. Like, we still scan our images in and just take pictures. And it's just about doing it and making it happen and not being like intimidated by like having, you know, to make everything digital or anything. I think that if you just have like an urge to tell a story, then you should do that. And I think the beautiful thing about webcomics is that it doesn't matter like what age you are, it doesn't matter like what you're interested in, because like no matter what you put up there, there's always somebody else in the world that will appreciate it and that will love it and that will be like totally into it.
Okay, so being at the end of the line, what else can I add? It doesn't take much, as long as you have the story in your head that you want to create. As far as the process of it, like everyone else is just saying, like just a pen and paper, really. And a lot of our early books just started out as simple Xeroxes and binding it ourselves with a stapler, and then going out and showing people and building an audience and growing from there. And yeah, just don't be too worried about if everything, like,
like a fancy print fee and all this other stuff, like, don't be too worried about that. It's just really as simple as going to Kinko's.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think that's also what I love about, one, making comics or actually making anything that's sort of like a miracle if you make it big. It's like there is no set way of, like, if you follow this path, if you go to this school, you're going to make it. It's like really, comics is one of those things where you literally can just draw on a napkin, fold it, and then go to SPX.
Yeah.
Now, now you have this amazing book. But it really is. It's just like anything else. How to get started, you know, making comics is like, how do you get started playing guitar? You play it. Exactly. And, I mean, the more you do it, maybe you'll get picked up. Maybe your goal is not to get picked up. You know, I know when I started making comics, to me, it was not about, like, I never wanted to be like, I need to work for Marvel. I need to work with these big guys. It was always just like, you know what? I want to see where this goes, and I want to see how far I can take what our collaboration is all about. How far can we take this band, you know, and create the characters that we want to. It was almost a response to that, and you know, that's how I got started. It was just a response to what I see.
Great, thank you. Sarah and I got started. We both come from a media background. I went to film school. Sarah went to photo school. I work my day job. I'm a film and video editor in New York. And Sarah is a producer and photographer. And we started Dark Ink a year ago. And I've always been a huge fan of comics. Wanted to tell stories and just dove into it without really a lot of training or anything. I mean, you know, writing scripts and screenplays and stuff, so storytelling was there, but in terms of actually comics, that was just learning as we went, you know, bringing on collaborators and, you know, just working on a more collaborative basis because we didn't have a lot of startup cash behind us, and then just like one thing led to another, like having, by putting like all our emphasis and into it and making sure it was as good as we could possibly make it, other artists would see it and be like, hey, I want to work with you guys, and then they'd bring everything they could, and then their stuff would more polished, and we get better, we get more refined. So it's been basically just building on the snowball, like bringing people in, making it as good as we can, learning from our mistakes, and then the next book turns out better.
Another question that we had, and we don't have to go down the line if you guys just want to pick up. Established who we are. The way of the day.
Looks like we could be informal.
You know, when you guys got started, did you collaborate with other people? And, you know, if so, what kind of advice would you give to people who are looking to find those kind of collaborators?
I think we collaborated with each other is how we got started.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it sounds like that's a similar story where writing and drawing and sketching together turns into a story we're trying to tell with each other. I mean, we certainly met a lot of artists and writers along the way here that we admire and learn a lot from, and these guys are awesome. But I think in terms of having someone to bounce ideas off of, we're fortunate to have had that conversation together.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to like come to him and be like, maybe you should work on that some more. but I also think, like, once you get into the webcomic community, you just meet amazing people. And everyone is so friendly. It's not this weird competition where you're trying to outdo each other. It really is, like, everybody trying to help each other. So, like, if you don't know where to get a print done, you just throw it out into the community, and people will be more than happy to come back to you. And I think that's what, outside of just creating with each other, that I've loved is just like all the different people that you meet and like how friendly everyone is. Like, it just shocked me.
Yeah, definitely compared to other industries, I feel like comics industry is very friendly.
Yeah.
And basically, as far as like creating a collaboration with somebody, there are forums, like say you're a writer and you know, I guess maybe have no interest in being an artist or you're not as confident, there are ways to meet artists online, or if same way if you're an artist and you don't have a story, there are ways to find a writer. You just gotta find the right person that you can jive with. But those people are out there and people are looking to collaborate.
What sort of comics? I assume you guys are interested in making comics. Is it a husband and wife thing, or are you kids interested in making comics yourselves?
Yeah, I made two sheets so far.
So
that's
awesome
more than
son.
That's more than majority of the people.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I mean, it is a new style. I mean, we both come from a filmmaking background, and we know that you have to write to a certain point, but with comics, you got to write for a certain page. You know, you got to get people to turn the page. And I think that was one of the things I had to learn from going from film to comics. You know, so it is a learning curve, but it's fun.
Do you guys work together, or to draw and?
We just work separately.
Okay.
Yeah, we work separately.
So basically, you're both the writer and the artist. You write and draw, and you write and draw. It's two separate projects.
Are you ever going to collaborate?
That'll happen.
Meeting of the minds.
Yeah, right. Sisters, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
If you can do it all in one, that's great, because all you need is a stapler, some paper, and you can go to shows like this and display your work and share it with the other, you know, walk around and meet these people and talk about how they got started and get advice on how you do your panels and everything. So. But if you ever find someone that's able to draw or write with you, that could, you know, it, I think usually it's best if they're a friend. Like if you know that person to start with, it's better than just kind of meeting someone. What I once did was I went online and went to one of these forums and looked for a good artist to work with, but it didn't work out so well because I didn't know the person. So if you're working with a friend, that's the best way, I think, because you can trust each other and you both care about the project.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of, I mean, it used to be you wanted to be Frank Miller and you wanted to grow up and you wanted to be a big name, and to do that you had to do DC or Marvel and there really wasn't too much, and then there was this huge backlash against the big houses, and so now that everything is so indie and now that everything is so open, how much more challenging is it with like copyright? And I mean, you've got a fan page, so where is your line of I'm ripping them off versus I'm a fan of them? Or how hard is it to be individual when there's suddenly, you know, thousands of people who are all creating and putting it out there?
Well, look, my own indie comic is called Once Upon a Superhero, and it's a full color 22 page comic. It's designed to be exactly like what you would pick up on the shelf in a comic book store. That's the one I worked with a collaborator on. Because Leanne was busy doing all these other projects, professional projects, and I didn't want to suck her away from that money to take a risk to do something with me that might not be successful. So that was a fun project, but if you look at the title I chose, Once Upon a Superhero, DC and Marvel have trademarked the term superhero. So basically I've got to change the title or else I might get my hand slapped. So I tried to, you know, superhero, two words, but apparently it doesn't matter. So there's things you have to watch out for. So I'm going to have to figure out a new title before I put it out for sale. But with our Blue Milk Special fan comic, that's actually something which we put it out there as it's a fan project. It's a non-profit and we help charities. So the only income we ever make is it helps go towards doing things like these shows. So if we go to like New York Comic Con or we go to Baltimore Comic Con, we're looking at hundreds of dollars for table, hotel, those kinds of things. So we never break even doing this kind of thing. But that's something we make sure is clear on the webpage, like in our title, in our banner, that is. We have non-profit fan project. This is not a business. So
so as long as you're not making money off it, you're not considering ripping off the Star Wars.
Unless you have a license, and we didn't want to. Some of our humor is a little bit more adult, so we weren't sure whether now, especially with Disney now being involved. Because once you get a license with somebody, they basically have control over a lot of what you do. So they'll have to approve the work that you're putting out. So if we've got a joke which they don't like, then we'll have to throw that work away. And we're just treating it as a fan project, and it's a way of building an audience because there are so many Star Wars fans. So by appealing to Star Wars fans and building the space, we've got someone who we can launch our original projects to. So we use Facebook, and it's a webcomic, so it's an online thing. But particularly for your kids, doing the actual comics that you draw yourself and then taking them to shows like this and getting advice, it's a great way to get started, and particularly like anime shows as well, like doing little ash cam prints, which you can go print at your local Kinko's or something like that, and taking them along is a great way to get started.
You know, we've bought, like, a commission piece from somebody as young as, like, 8 years old of Thor at Baltimore Comic Con, and we just thought it was amazing that he had a table, and that he had, like, a little book that you could, like, pick, you know, a drawing at, and then he would just do it for you. We were, like...
Was it Kier's son?
I heard he was doing a lot of artwork, was it
an anime show, or was it at Baltimore?
Baltimore Comic Con, yeah.
I think there was a spare table next to Kier's table, and so he let his son sit up there because no one had come to use the table, and his son had a bunch of artwork, and people came up and bought it from him. He thought it was great what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So
good, we framed it.
In terms of your question about like the big publishers and the backlash, our goal as a company is to get published with someone that's not us. Like, we pay for all the printing and the distribution for our books, and we're just people paying for this out of our pocket, and we pay for artists out of our pocket because he writes and I produce. So eventually our goal is to take our work in front of publishers, and most of the like Image and Hound and IDW, they have submission requirements online. They tell you exactly what they're looking for and what they need in like a pitch packet for you. And, you know, we, our long-term goal is to submit to them and to have somebody else kind of pick up all those costs and kind of pair ourselves with someone, you know, a company that will allow us to still make these creator-owned comics and not swallow us up, but we won't be paying for everything out of our pocket. And as for your question about ripping off the big guys, there's a lot of copyright trademark kind of stuff you have to be considerate of, but we're always proponents of the idea that if it's your story, there's a limited number of stories that exist in the world. And so a lot of times you'll come up with this idea and people might come up to you and say, well, you totally ripped off such and such, but everybody brings something different to the equation, a different artist, a different writer. Unless you're actively saying, well, I'm going to do my take on Supergirl, then I don't really feel like you're ripping things off.
And we were careful when we started, like, when we incorporated and stuff, to set it up in a way where if there were lawsuits and stuff, it would never fall on us, it would fall on the corporation.
Right.
You know? So... just because when you're working with artists, when you're collaborating with people, when you're dealing with publishers and stuff, like, who knows, you know, so many things will go wrong in that process. You don't want your bank account attached to that. So that was one precaution we took.
Yeah, well, and another thing about that, with Blue Milk Special as well, since it's a Star Wars parody, there's actually fair use laws, and particularly with parody, where you're parodying pop culture, where you have a degree of protection, because you're parodying something which is part of what's popular culture today. So we have a disclaimer at the end of every strip, actually built into the artwork on the web page, which is just one way.
But in terms of, I mean, because we get requests all the time for a click us to print collected books of our strips, but we won't do something like that, because I mean, we don't own the characters. You know, we don't want, especially with Disney now, we don't want any part of that.
With that in mind, that's why we treat Blue Milk Special as a promotional tool just for Leanne and myself.
Yeah,
we don't make money from it, but it's a way of attracting people to look at the other work that we do sell.
One thing I wanted to ask everyone is, I feel like a lot of times when people start creative endeavors and they start making their own books or producing their own movies or whatever, you know, there's a lot of roadblocks, and I feel like sometimes people don't anticipate them, and when they hit them, they kind of crumble, and, you know, everyone has to overcome them. So we're wondering, what kind of obstacles did you guys hit when you were starting out that you had to kind of like rally the troops and say, let's press on, let's not get dissuaded?
I think one of the main roadblocks was being able to talk to people. And it's one thing to make a book, but it's another thing also, you have to promote it, and you have to go out, and, you know, you can't be the person behind the table at the convention that's just drawing your head down. I think that's like, it's a huge roadblock, you know, because who can really just be a salesman all the time for your own work? That's why there are like agents and managers doing that. But when you're doing it at sort of like this grassroots level, we don't have agents and managers. We have us and our own voices and our own
fingertips typing on the computer, you know, so that's cool. So that, once you get over that, I feel like you can do anything, because that's massive. Yeah. You know, and also just life.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys all have day jobs too. Yeah, we all have day jobs to support what we're doing. So I think we're probably all dreaming, or hoping that eventually, you know, we can make a living off of our husband and wife projects.
That's true. What's that first million out of the comics? That's what.
I'm pretty sure also everyone has like time management issues. Yes. Like, I mean, the best way around that is to create a deadline. Even if it's just for a small project, just be like, hey, I want to get this done by next Monday. And if every little bit helps, it helps the project go down along the line. Because if you put it off too much, then things will be forgotten and it won't be as clear.
And you should respect the deadline. I think that's part of it too, is that you don't want to like build an audience and say that you're going to post every Monday and not do that, because then they're just going to start going away.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like the same thing as like, we treat it the same thing as we treat our day job. It's like, if it's a deadline, it's real. And you need to do everything you can to meet it if you're pinched that week.
Yeah, I like to cheat, because Blue Milk Special being a fan project and we don't sell, we don't make money from it, I feel like we're allowed to, you know, be late updating. But if and when we get our original stuff out there, like especially if it's a webcomic, yeah, we would try to make sure it's a regular Monday, Friday, whatever the update schedule is, trying to never to miss that day.
I definitely like am more on your side of thinking about like, I think it's always important to hit the deadlines. Mm-hmm. But if you have a freelance project coming in,
yeah,
it's like, well, no one's paying you to do the webcomic, so you got to put that aside.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're quitting or taking a long hiatus even. You know, if you miss a couple updates, I'm okay with that. I used to be of the thinking differently though. I used to be of like, you got to have every deadline. But also it's like, you're your own boss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good goal to always hit your deadlines. But if occasionally you have another project to work on, I think you can let it slide. And if anyone's going to give you heat for that, then, you know, If anything, that's a compliment, because it's like, hey, I missed your update that day. You know, they wanted to see it.
Exactly.
But they should have the patience to know, hey, I got a freelance project in, or hey, I had death in the family. You know, like, we have lives.
Yeah,
you know? So.
No, that's true.
And to be honest, a lot of professional comics are late coming out these days.
Many of them are.
That's what you should put up when you're late. Like, just so you know.
That's the thing, is you make a panel about not doing the comic that way. That's what you always see.
That's
the comic, just drawing monkeys or something.
Yeah. And it's like all of us up here, like, we've all been doing this for at least a year or more, and, you know, we've been putting out product. It's not like we're being lazy. It's just things happen, you know?
Yeah.
So don't be so hard on yourself.
No, I know.
Yeah. It's definitely like that. It's a good goal to hit all the time, too.
Yeah. But you're right about like being honest. I mean, I think that don't just like disappear completely for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think
it's
fair to at least put something up there. And you don't have to put like TMI information.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to be like polite about it and respect your audience.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we were definitely in your camp with the deadlines. Like, coming from the ad world, we were like, deadline is a deadline. We'll never ever miss it. And what we started to realize is the artists that we're working with, they have day jobs too. Like, they're collaborating, like, we're not paying them their standard page rates. So sometimes they have things that come in that's gonna delay it for them. Sometimes we have a job that comes in that delays us getting the script. And at the end of the day, no one's gonna ask you, well, did this comic book take 3 months to make or four? Like, they're gonna make their comic, and then they're gonna look through it, and they're gonna decide if they like it or if they don't, and that's really the only test. So
and
if to add a little bit to the deadline, then, you know, you just communicate.
Like, buffer that, too. Like, if you think it might take more time, like, after doing, like, your first maybe one or two projects, you start to realize how much time it actually takes. So you might want to add on some buffer time just in case things happen.
And deadlines are important, but I think quality of work trumps deadlines. Like, you know, if you're working with someone who's not working and they're just not submitting, that's a problem. But if you can see, like, look at the quality that's coming through, that's what's going to make your work stand out in the end.
One question that might be helpful for people is just, what's the general process? Like, when you come up with an idea for a new comic book, how do you make it happen? Just the steps.
Well, I don't know whether we should address the print side, since we've got a lot of web comic. Again, okay, you'll do print versions as well, which you sell at the shows.
Yeah.
Do you want to
say something? Well, I mean, basically, at least for the Star Wars comic, Rod mostly comes up with the script. We collaborate, we bounce it back and forth, and then we decide on a layout together. The way we did it, because I was working doing other freelance work, we kind of do our comic as like a paper doll type method, where I'll draw all of the characters and I'll draw different arms for the characters, and we kind of piece it, put it together that way. But I do a lot of new art, depending on what the strip calls for. And, Rod does a lot of the coloring. I started working digitally, drawing it actually digitally with a tablet. That's saved me a lot of time, so I don't have to constantly scan my work in and do the pencils first and then inks on top of it. So that's kind of our process, and then Rod puts everything together, letters it, and does most of the maintenance for the website and puts it up.
I can't tell if you're looking at. I guess I like to think that our story process is pretty weird. Since Black Magic Tales is just like that's our create. Well, our books are all of our creations. It's sort of like a story idea would just hit me like a random time, so I'll write it in my book, or we'd have a meal and then it would come to me. I'm like, what we can do with Roxy and Dean? What if we like had them go into outer space and it just comes to you and we just have a back and forth. Do you think this would work? No, I think that's weird. Are you sure? How can we make, can I make it more weird? It really is sort of like this tennis match of like, all right, let's see what happens with this. What would happen if we take these characters and put them in there, and then we actually, after that, then I communicate with Carolyn about like visuals. That would be, what if we did this? And she'd be like, I think that would be fun. In a way, I try to write for, like the style that Carolyn does like have. So it's sort of like, it gives me an opportunity to write in her mindset, so to speak. What would be fun for her to do, and then what would be fun for me to write? And which actually is the weirdest combination, because I like doing almost like crime, dark, noir, sci-fi, and then let's see what happens. So I mix that with her, like really cool Bruce Timm Looney, Chuck Jones style, and then after that, it's work.
It's work, really funny.
Page breakdown.
Yeah, when we go to the comic book store, like I'm buying like Scotty Young, Wizard of Oz, and like My Little Pony and stuff, and then Joe's buying like Crossed, and it's all of his are like boarded up and bagged, like it's like like you can't look inside it.
like this bloody is where I'm finding inspiration.
So he has like a total different side of books that he reads, but it all comes together, and that's the fun part.
Yeah, I do enjoy the process, because it's I get more freedom from doing this, because like, again, from the film background, like, well, what's the budget? That's the first thing. But with comics, I'm like, well, there is no budget. Yes, there is. It's time. How much time do we have to do that?
How much time do you want to invest in?
Yeah. So, but I do like being able just to go anywhere.
Right.
Do you have
any questions?
Did you guys want?
No.
Oh. Yeah. I guess with our process, we do like a lot of voice memos. So like if we come up with an idea, like I really feel like if I don't get it down, or if like we don't get it down, then we'll lose it. And so my phone is full of like all of our ideas, and it's really awkward at first because you're all nervous recording, and then you just get way into it. And so whenever like we're trying to come up with something, we'll just go through like our library and like try and build off of it, and most of the time we'll try and design it together, and then I guess it just depends on if we're doing like a diorama or a drawing. So sometimes with the dioramas, we'll pull up visuals. We're like, we have to look at cookies for an hour just to like make sure we get the design right. Maybe let's go eat a cookie. And then we'll get inspired. So I think there's a lot of that.
That's right.
So we like to go out to like restaurants on the weekends and just kind of like make it a day of like bouncing ideas off each other.
Have you ever eaten one of your fake cookies but thought it was real?
We've had a lot of kids come up and try and nibble.
It looked delicious.
Do you guys have any questions? What do you want to know about comics you never asked?
Not so much about comics, but I guess it could go down that way. Could you keep using the phrase web comics and posting them out on the web? Does that mean you have to have your own website to do that?
Not anymore, really, because there's so many other platforms that, like, even you can just post something to Facebook, you can email, like, your friends. If you want to start out, I guess, not release everything to the full-on public, you can just email your friends and see what they think. But yeah, you can post even, like, TwitPic. If you're on Twitter, you can just upload an image that way. You don't have to pay for any website. And then I guess there's also Tumblr and a whole bunch of other blogs, WordPress, the Blogger, like Google has Blogger. So basically any of those sites, and just, it's literally as simple as an upload and then picking which file you want to upload.
There's actually webcomicnation.com and drunkduck.com. There's different webcomic hubs where it's all done for you. You just upload, you know, just fill out the name of the comic and you upload the latest strip or whatever it is. And you're part of a big directory of other people posting, you know, in that community. That's a good way of doing it because it's free. Leanne and I actually host our own WordPress using the Comic Crest theme, which allows us to have the kind of site design we want. But if you want to just get involved in a community, like I've been recommending to people, webcomicnation.com. It's a good place to start, at least just testing the waters, seeing how it goes.
I do personally, I think I recommend just getting your own website or a blogger, so then that way it's your own name on it. But if you do want to meet people in the community, I think that maybe Webcomics Nation might be good. I've never done that myself, but if you just want to like fully own like your website URL, like your address, like I'd recommend doing that because it would be under your name.
That for free too, yeah. Like on Blogger and WordPress
and those kind of sites, you can add your name and it would be like yourname.blogger.com, but people could still Google your name and find it, and then you have control over it.
Yeah.
I think soon we're
going to
get rid of the word web anyway.
It's
just
going to
be just comic.
Yeah, everything's on the web anyway, so.
The reason I'm asking is I have been writing stories, short stories, long stories, novelettes for years. And I have known Leanne for about 10, so she knows I live in multiple universes with multiple characters. And I'm looking at, down the road as my next career, possibly taking those stories and hooking up with an artist with a style I like and have visualized in my head all these years, because you visualize what the characters look like and the scenery, and translating those stories into the comics. Because I think that would just be fun for me. I don't look at it as being any kind of income or anything. I just think it would be fun to see them laid out and visualize.
It's definitely fun.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
We can confirm.
One thing that it was definitely a good idea to look into, like Chris was saying, he writes screenplays, and he found that writing an actual script for comics is completely different. And it's very different than writing just a short stories. But you can find online different templates for what an artist might be looking for in a script, because a lot of times you'll have a description of what's happening in the panel, and then it'll have things like the sound effects and the dialogue listed there, so the artist kind of has an idea of what you're going from, instead of just handing them the story, and then that gives you less control if you just say, interpret this for me.
In addition to that too, it's a different format. And it's, you know, it's still storytelling, but, you know, like was mentioned before, like, it's all about turning the page. So it's like a different, like, every page has to have, essentially, like a mini cliffhanger, a big beat that makes you want to turn the page and read more. And it's just something that's different from novels or film. So my best advice is to, like, just do some research about what are, like, some of the most acclaimed comics. Comics you respond to, and just read a lot of comics while you're writing, because you'll see how all the great comic writers, they plot their stories out like that very much, so you're always doing this.
Or even
also like, you know, things like where the splash pages would go, where, you know, where would you put your double page splash, where would you put this? It's, you know, it's a deliberate placement, and it's just something that it's just a different, you know, format of writing. So I would definitely recommend that. And like Sarah said too, writing in a comic script where you say panel one such and such, panel two such and such, allows the artist to really create, you know, focus on the layouts and make those creative instead of just like trying to interpret this massive thing.
Well, I have a question that is more like, once you start making money from your comic book, whether it's merchandising or the actual coming for those prints.
It's probably merchandising.
Hi, how do you manage like the tax and all that business aspect of stuff? Do you set up like your own separate company, or do you still put it under your name, or like what's your experience as far as that? And do you have to declare?
After
you're not accountants, but you have to deal with a little bit of the business aspect of that as far as tax.
Well, in a ratio of your actual, I guess, daily income plus your, you know, you count this as subsidiary income. How much money are you making off of that? You know, I mean, if it doesn't exceed a certain amount of money, then maybe you don't have to claim it as much. But if you're going to the point where it is challenging your normal day to day, then possibly your best bet is to start up a company, because then someone's gonna go after you that you don't like, because it's you gotta be held accountable for that extra income, so to speak.
Right.
So I would say either like your own company, because at the same time it does have a lot of write-off benefits, because now if you do have your own company or nonprofit and you're like, wow, I can write off research. What's research? Every comic I buy.
Or printer.
Computer,
yeah.
Your gas.
I mean, yeah, it's all should be charted, and like I think like you should be taxed on it, like, because that's all your income.
It is
so
income.
Like I put it down, I pay taxes on it, so it's something that you just gotta manage where your money's going and keep track of it. It's actually good to start early, just to say, just for budgeting reasons, just say, hey, I spent $5 on paper, you know, here's my pencils, and just write down, have a log of your receipts, how much you put into it, and then, like, if you print up some books, you know, like, the print fee, and then also budget your income, how much you're selling, so your losses and your profits, and just, it's good to keep track of it starting now, even as humans, as taxpayers, like, just to even know your household budget really is good to know, like, how much you spend on food a week, and multiply that out and figure out your budgets for everything and how much you can spend on things and keep within that realm.
Yeah, and let's be honest, like, no one wants to do that, but when you do get into the rhythm of having
it's easier.
And being in the business mindset, yeah, it becomes easier, and then it actually helps you with just discipline, and it does help you with, you know, time management, because you're like, wow, you know, you've got everything down.
It also does help you treat it more like a business rather than fun, because it is fun, and we all want to do comics for that reason. But then also, like, once you really start getting into it, you do treat it like a business, because you start to see, like, the benefits of doing that and say, oh, because I went here, this happened. And, like, you're saying how you went to HeroesCon and you met people and that happened. Like, it's the same thing even with money-wise. It's like, oh, I, you know, because I printed these things, this led to this. You know, stuff like that. It's always an opportunity. So just look at it from that way, and then your mindset will start to change. And it will still be fun. Like Joe said, no one wants to do the number crunching. But like, you will just see even roughly how, like, you invest X amount, you gain X amount. It's stuff like that. But you don't, and also it's important to know, like, at first you're not going to, like, necessarily make a ton of money. Like, you're not gonna become Frank Miller in a year. You know, like, if you do, then that's awesome. But you're most likely not going to.
I mean, it only took Frank Miller, like, over 20 years.
Yeah, over 20 years.
So let's see, how many years do we have left to reach that?
Yeah. So just keep going with it and keep track of it. And if you already think in that mindset, then you're already going to be prepared when something major happens. So you're going to be like, oh, I got all my documentation right here. Or if the IRS comes at you, you can be like, here, I have it all right here. Go have a look. You know, you're covered. You're always going to be having that to back you up.
And also, it helps you actually to realize, hey, it's like,
I might not have to go to a bigger publishing company because I know what their dispensers are and I know how, hey, am I being mishandled here? Because being in that business sense opens your eyes to a lot of people that possibly are getting screwed over.
Yeah, so. And also a lot of these things you can do yourself. Yeah. Like, it's not, it is, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's also not very hard. You just put the time into it and you're not paying someone else to do it.
But you can pay someone else.
You can, if you want that. And if it gets to like that huge level where it's like you cannot even create your comic because you're doing too much business, then that's when you can like start to look and see maybe working with someone else or, you know, expanding. But
just look at Jeff Smith. He is his own business.
But he also has a business that he hires people for cartoon books. So he reached that level where he can work with other people on the business and he can just concentrate on the art.
Because there was that time when Jeff Smith was with Image, and then after a while he's like, well, I probably don't need this anymore. And then he can still put it out through Cartoon Books, which is, again, his own company. So you just have to think of a cool name for your company. Because then when you do that, then you're like, oh, you know what, I can actually put a lot of things under this company too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, a lot of people do struggle with Image, a lot of the creators. It is a fight to turn a profit. So even if you do make it into Image and you're working with them and your book's coming out, you still have to make a certain number of sales. So you've got to pay for your own printing costs. It's a challenging goal to have. But if you are able to do a lot of that yourself, then more power to you. It's going to help you out in the long run.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
It's not possible.
It works for a lot of people. But it is challenging.
Like, we got a couple extra people coming in. Does anybody have questions about how to make a comic or how the process works or anything you wanted to know about comics but have never asked?
Oh, is my hand okay? What do you guys find like useful as far as like marketing your comic? What has worked for you, what hasn't worked for you, either online or when you go to conventions? Is it better to do like bookmarks instead of handing out postcards or little...
Are you talking about merchandise at conventions or...
Promotion.
I guess you can do, you do mainly web stuff, right? Right now,
well,
that's what you're focusing
on? We have like postcards that we give out free that we have printed ourselves. That has, you know, we have a couple sample strips on the back, and then like our website address, and you know, just to give out to people to give them examples of what our strips are like, and you know, the web address where they can go and find them all online. That's worked out pretty well, you know.
Yeah, most of our promotion online is like with the webcomic side. Like we got listed up with topwebcomics.com, and they're like a directory of webcomics, so. People can vote daily on their favorite comic, you can vote on multiple comics, and if you can make it at the top 100 or so, then you're visible and you get seen, and people who go there and read comics can discover new work, stuff they wouldn't normally come across. We've actually advertised with a banner on topwebcomics.com, and it drives a lot of people through to our website. More of our promotion stuff's probably done online than at shows, so. Mostly because Blue Milk Special is a non-profit exercise, so once we get to launching our original comic, which I hope will happen this year, but day jobs, you know, coming in the way sometimes, that's probably when we'll look at the merchandise, you know, the full-blown sort of table full of books and all the wonderful stuff we want to do, but you guys are probably the guys who are doing that now with all your products, because you can sell.
Yeah, I definitely recommend a bookmark or postcards. Either one would work. They're both usable. People can always use them, stick them in a book, and you know, at their nightstand, at their bedstand at night, and just read and always bookmark you. And being online, I did do a couple Project Wonderful ads. There's a website called Project Wonderful, and you bid for ads, and that's pretty good. I did that briefly, but I don't always check it, and I'm not. I maybe like twice a year I'll be like, let's buy a couple ads, and then. But I don't really monitor it. But I like right now I don't have any ads going,
but I'll do like a couple weeks a year maybe, and just to like see what's out there and you know, throw a bone out there and see if anything will go. But I don't concentrate on that. Mostly we concentrate on meeting people in person, because I feel like if you make a big impact on people, they'll like you, and they'll go to your site and support you, and then they'll, like, our audience, like, we've seen them at many conventions, and they'll come back, and they'll always say, like, what's new at the table? So you start to build that. It might be regional at first and local, but it does start to gain momentum. So it's all about visibility and being accessible to people. So I feel like your personality matters a lot, too. But I haven't been as active with, like, the webcomics community. I do try to, but I have not. Again, that's another time investment, too. So you're creating a comic, and then you have to be online.
Exactly. Marketing and trying to create a comic and then market it. It's like, where do you find the time to do both? Because you really want to be working on creating the comic, not all the... I don't think the promotional side is that much fun. So I'd rather be creating more story, getting more issues or strips done. But it's a comment about Project Wonderful. I mean, I think we made like $8 or something off of that, like in a couple of months. We used Google AdSense, and we've made like over $100 in a month. So I would definitely recommend.
Oh,
with their ads on our website.
Okay, so you're putting Google AdSense
on your Google
site
AdSense
with other people's
lucrative
ads,
as opposed to.
But with other people's ads, it's
yes.
going on your site.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Of course, those aren't webcomics. But
yeah.
it was actually meaning something to the pocket, so it was,
yeah.
we decided, okay,
but
we could do both. We've done both.
We've advertised on, like, Facebook. You can,
yeah.
you know, pay for
Facebook
up to, you know, give them a certain dollar amount, and then they'll, however many hits or whatever, I can't remember.
Yeah, I think Facebook is a great tool for that, too, because
yeah.
it can't be a comic show every day, so.
And I mean, you can just throw, like, $10, you know, if that's your threshold,
yeah.
then they'll.
Or you can just contact other groups on Facebook who are, you know, other comic fan pages or groups, go to them, email them, say, hey, would you mind sharing my work, or to post on their wall, or get to know the people, and you can get your work out to a number of people that way. We got 4,500 likes for a Blue Milk special on Facebook, which is a really nice little group to communicate through and to share and go viral and that kind of thing. So that's, yeah, we're definitely more focused on that. Online advertising and stuff.
I think
we're
a
mix, right?
I mean, we're a little different. Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, we love the interactive side of it. So in terms of Twitter and Facebook, I mean, that's not really it doesn't really feel like a time spent to us. It really feels like an opportunity to talk with other people that
yeah.
we get a lot of energy out of,
mm-hmm.
which is why the convention scene is really important to us. It's just meeting people like you guys and forming great relationships. I think in terms of our marketing, we've been working to try to brand things as clearly as possible with a joke in there for our style, so that it's, you know, in a sticker it's clearly communicating what we do.
Yeah, that we're disturbingly cute. Like, it's a dark, funny sticker.
So as best as we can summarize that, and that's sort of promotionally what we're handing out.
Yeah, and I think, like, in terms of, like, spreading the word out about our comic, we've done, like, a few things continually. So we'll always post to Reddit. We'll do, like, the webcomics and comics page, and so that's driven a lot of traffic, and we've gotten more of a fan base from there. But I think our partnership with Hello Giggles has, like, really built our audience. Because basically, Hello Giggles is a site, like, promoting young females, and it was founded by, like, Zoe Deschanel, Molly McAleer, and Sophia Rossi. And so they already had, like, this built-in audience, and we sent them a picture of one of our dioramas thinking that, like, our style matches your style, and it was just, like, amazing how we both just, like, clicked with each other. So every week, you know, we have our two standard posts on our site, but then every Friday we post to Hello Giggles, and whenever we post to there, we get so much interaction and so much traffic, and we've been able to meet some really amazing people through that site. So I would say if you have a comic and it is a certain style that you think would pair well with another site or another person, like, reach out to them and just see what they say, because it does not hurt to, you know, pair up. And I think it's so much of it, like, speaking to Jimmy's point about, like, how we love Twitter and we're addicted to Instagram. You really do find people with common interests, and you really do feed off each other, and whenever we can shout out to like another comic that we love, we try to every time, and you start to see that you get that back. So I think it's not, you can't go into this industry like thinking that you're just gonna self-promote yourself. It does not work that way. It's all about building up each other, and I think that goes back to just like how positive and amazing the webcomic community is.
Just one more thought, because you're talking more about actually at a show with what merchandise you have. Another thing is to think about how you set up the table itself. You know, whether it's a nice table throw you put over it, and whether you have a big banner behind you, but the kinds of things you set up on the table, you want to try and keep people's eye line, raise it off the table, because as people are walking by or crowding the table, it's hard to see what's on it. So there's also a way that the presentation side of things is kind of important as well. That we don't do the bookmarks, but we have the promo cards, and we pick like a picture which represents the comic really well. So it's like a pin-up, but just on a postcard size. And you flip it around, and we've got two sample strips on the back with the web address. You know, the barest information, most of it's communicated through the actual comic itself, the artwork.
Well, I think also, too, like one thing that we've encountered at cons is if you have content that's not age appropriate, you should make that clear. Because I always think that gets really confusing when somebody picks up something they shouldn't, and you're like, whoa, it's too late. Damage is done.
But it's definitely not age appropriate. I've seen things even at this show, which is kind of, you know, people have got laid out on the table, which I probably wouldn't let my kids look at, but depends on the parents, I guess.
I say don't be afraid to go into like a marketplace that you don't think would be into comics, because you never know.
Yeah,
I think that's really there's a lot of people that have just never picked up a comic. You never know if they'll like it, so don't be afraid to just shove it in their face.
I think that was like a great note to end on, like shove it in their face.
Or give them a link, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, that sounds like the perfect note to end on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And there you go, guys. That was the Making Comics panel at the ANS Sci-Fi and Comic-Con. Did you have a good time there, Carolyn?
Yeah. I hope we inspired a whole bunch of people to start making their own comics.
It was cool. That was like it was a lot of people, a lot of teams showing the world how to talk about it. One amazing memory I have out of that, I remember like in the front row, there was just like this little, like almost, I don't know, like 4-year-old girl that kept on like waving and saying hi to me the whole entire time. And I was like, what's going on, man? And apparently she was my biggest fan.
Did she ask you any questions after the show?
Yeah, she came up to me and she's like, hi, what's your name? And I was like, I'm Joe. And she's like, hi, I forgot her name. And I was like, oh, cool, nice to meet you. I hear you want to do comics. She's like, yeah, maybe.
We convinced her.
Yeah. So just so you guys know, this show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Also, don't forget, just came out the new One Shots film. So go check out one-shots.com and as well goastray.tumblr to check out the making of that. Do we have any news, Carolyn, just before we head out?
There's some news. It will be released soon. There's a couple art shows in D.C. featuring comics art, but it hasn't been released officially yet, so I have to keep my mouth shut.
Why don't you keep your mouth shut, Carolyn? Mm-hmm. Just sit there and keep your mouth shut.
But just so you know, there's some upcoming comics events in D.C., like exhibition-wise. So that should be exciting. And check out my Curls comic strip online at curls-studio.com.
Excellent. So everybody, go out there, relax, try not to get burned by the sun.
And make comics,
yeah. And we'll catch you all next week. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Send them home, Carolyn.
See ya.